United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Welcome to the Seminary Explores podcast. I'm your host for the day, Don Redman, and with me in the studio is Judy Young and David Young from Gettysburg Gun Sense. Welcome to the Seminary Explores.
Thank you, Don.
So why don't we start with kind of a quick overview of exactly what Gettysburg Gun Sense is and what the overall mission of the group is.
Well, we are a group of about 12 people who have really organized ourselves in response to the fact that we're in the middle of a gun violence epidemic in this country. I think most people know by now that we have over 90 gun deaths every day. Of those, there's about 30 gun homicides. And what's really shocking is to compare that to the rest of the developed world, where if you take, for instance, all the English-speaking nations of the world except us and add with enough of Europe to get to our exact population size, they lose 2 people a day to gun homicide. We lose 30. That's not twice the number, it's not 10 times the number, it's 15 times the number, and that's just the homicides. So that's the thing that caused sort of a groundswell of concern, and then we started out by having the annual vigil for victims of gun violence, and one thing led to another. We started with book studies and things like that, and now we've ended up with this mission. Our mission is preventing gun violence through education and gun regulation consistent with the rights of responsible gun owners.
Okay. When was this group formed?
The first vigil was the initial activity, and that was December of 2015.
And was there a triggering event? It's probably the wrong word to use, but was there an event that kind of brought this group together?
I'd say it was the Sandy Hook shootings, because there are several groups up there responding to that started out doing this annual vigil at the time of the Sandy Hook massacre. And this was the third year that they had a vigil, and this was the year that they expanded them all around the country. And I'm a retired pastor, and I got that email saying, would you organize in your area? And so it happened that Jan Powers and I had discussed working on this issue just very shortly before that, and Mark Oldenburg at Gettysburg Seminary worked with the two of us in organizing that first interfaith vigil for victims of gun violence.
All right, thank you. So I understand that one of your primary objectives really is education. So what can you tell us about your education efforts in the community?
In addition to the vigil, which was just discussed there, and I might just add we've had anywhere from like 80 to 125 people from the community attend the vigils, talking about some of the problems of gun violence as well as possible solutions, especially legislative solutions. But we also have a book study every year, usually in January and February, where we study a book that's written by someone, usually from the academic community, who has studied the gun problem. And we've read, our first book was Private Guns and Public Health by David Hemingway, which talks about looking at the gun violence issue as a public health issue, and what can be done then to try to address the issue, similar to what happened with, say, automobile accidents in this country, where at first it was somewhat ignored by industry and even to some degree by some in the public, but then action was taken to make cars safer, just like we believe that actions can be taken on the gun violence side to make the community safer. We've also recently had a session on the causes of school shootings, which about 60 people from the community attended, and we talked about some of the issues that come about that followed the Parkland shooting there in Florida, and talked about issues from like some of these what are called red flag laws that can be used to have guns with judicial approval taken from people that could be a danger to themselves or others. what can be done in terms of expanding background checks, which is an issue before Pennsylvania right now, the legislature, and other issues that really, the types of guns that have been a problem, what can be done on the legislative side for that.
All right, well, thank you. You kind of started to touch on it, but I wonder if maybe you would go into a little more detail about the types of policies that you're promoting and hoping to see go through the legislatures.
Yeah, well, we do promote various policies through sort of an advocacy, and we work with partner groups. Particularly, I would say the main one is Pennsylvania United for Background Checks, and they have an annual rally in Harrisburg. The thing about background checks is it seems like something that's already passed. The Brady Bill supposedly gave us background checks on gun sales, but actually something like 20%, or estimates vary, at least 20% of gun sales go through with no background check because there are these loopholes. And there's a lot of sound studies on this that show that we'll save thousands of lives to make background checks universal. So this is a group, we attend their annual rally in Harrisburg demanding that loopholes be closed. In other words, that the state legislature will vote on these bills that, you know, are very important to close the loopholes in background checks. It's a policy favored by like 95% of Americans. And this year's rally, I'm glad you asked about legislation, because we actually spent a lot of time on other things than legislation. It's not the only way to work with gun violence prevention. But this year's rally for getting universal background checks is at the Capitol Rotunda on April 11th. So that's this coming Wednesday at 10 a.m. So join us. We will be among 600 people who are there asking the legislature to have a vote on these issues, because there is this opening, they are going to have hearings, and we're asking for them to actually vote on this legislation. And we're going to be meeting in Gettysburg to carpool over there on the left side of the People's Parking Lot by 8 a.m. We want to leave at 8, so get there before 8 if you can this Wednesday, April 11th, carpool with us, and that's the sort of thing that we work on with legislation. It's the main thing. We also are in favor of a ban on assault weapons. We've heard a lot about that lately.
Have you seen any changes in the legislature's position since the Parkland tragedy? Has there been a shift, or are things still pretty much the same?
Huge shift. They had a unanimous vote in the Senate that passed SB 501, which is a domestic violence bill, but what it involves is allowing the removal of guns from people who are convicted of a domestic violence abuse. And that bill had been sitting there for years. And it got a hearing, and it got a vote, and the vote passed unanimously. I mean, all of this was unheard of. So we now would like to see, this is separate from the things on the 11th of April, but this is also something we would like to see that voted on in the House. And then that could become law and save a lot of lives. Again, the whole goal is saving lives. But yeah, and it's an opening in the House that has caused this April 11th rally to be so important. The Judiciary Committee chair has said that all of these bills can have hearings now. So stuff that's been sitting in the Judiciary Committee, now there are hearings, and we are rallying to say, please vote. We're not saying, we're not telling people how to vote, but please at least put these up for a vote, because, you know, we know that over 90% of Americans want universal background checks, for instance. It's such a no-brainer. We're just asking for a vote, and now there seems to be hope of it.
And it seems like in the past, after a tragic event like this, there would always be that declaration that this is not the time to discuss this. And it seems we've finally crossed that bridge and realized that this is the only time to discuss it.
Yeah, no, I think there definitely is a sea change. I attended with 3 busloads from the Gettysburg area, the March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C., where there was an estimated 800,000 people there. And I give a lot of credit to the Parkland survivors who were out advocating for gun changes in gun laws. I think it's also very sad, though, it took 17 teenagers being killed to finally move to some action. Even the U.S. Congress passed, although hidden within a funding bill, what they called a Fix NICS legislation, which is not expanded background checks. It's just putting some sanctions on federal agencies if they don't report issues like domestic violence violations. They have to report to the FBI and the federal National Instant Criminal Background Check, the NICS. And that would have prevented, probably, would have certainly prevented the person being able to buy the rifle who killed people in the church there in Texas, because he was had been in the military. And so that was passed, and it had been sitting there for a long time with no action. So you had that, and also the change on the federal level was they allowed the Center for Disease Control to study the causes of gun violence, which had been prohibited since 1996. Now, there needs to be funding for that, and we're hopeful that will happen in the next year for it within the CDC. But those are two changes that wouldn't have occurred, I think, without Parkland, and I say unfortunately, and 17 kids killed there, and their advocacy. Now, you've also seen at the Florida level, which was amazing, a very conservative state with a conservative Republicans in the House, Senate, and a Republican governor there that passed some strict laws in terms of raising the age for gun purchases, especially rifles, from 18 to 21. Some red flag laws where the judicial, with judicial approval, guns can be taken from people that might be a threat to themselves or others, which would have affected the person, Mr. Cruz, who did the shooting. And so, yeah, there's been some changes. Vermont recently passed some legislation, and I understand the governor has or will sign it on to tighten up gun regulations.
So we have hope.
Yeah. There's been a lot of change just within the past past month or so after Parkland.
I mean, we've always had hope, but we've always known we were playing a long game with this issue. I've often said, if it's 50 years from now, it'll still save lives. But right now, we're thinking, might not take 50 years. That'd be nice.
And I think in the past, the gun debate has really been presented, especially in the media, as a very polarized debate. But I'm wondering, what's your impression as you're out in the community talking to people of different perspectives on this? And do you see it as polarized as it's presented?
You know, that's a fascinating question, because, you know, the first thing that really revealed to me that this isn't polarized, it's just that everybody, as you say, assumes it is, was when I had four people call to object to the first gun violence vigil for victims of gun violence that we had. And two of them called because it was not anti-gun, and they thought it should be anti-gun. And I was like, well, we're not anti-gun. You know, the group that is working on this issue, we favor the Second Amendment and the rights of responsible gun owners. We simply, you know, and all of the groups that do these vigils are calling for universal background checks. That's the only thing that is mentioned specifically. It's the vigils mainly are about a chance to mourn our losses. But we do mention universal background checks and the need for that. But it is not anti-gun. And then the other two people who called to object about the vigil said, well, because it's anti-gun. So these were four people from opposite sides, and the two folks who were afraid it was anti-gun both said, but you know, I favor universal background checks. And both of those individuals then, in these separate conversations, then went on to say, and by the way, you know, as a hunter, I don't ever need an assault weapon. Nobody needs an assault weapon outside the military. They should ban those. And so these are the main issues that are agreed on by the majority of Americans, as it turns out. I mean, it's a super majority of Americans who favor the universal background checks. And I think it's not well enough known that this is, in fact, a very bipartisan and has been for a very long time. But as you say, yeah, people are not aware of that.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, that this is not an anti-gun group. And in fact, you do a number of things to actually support gun owners in the area. And I wonder if you maybe would want to tell us a little bit about your projects to actually support gun owners.
Well, I would say that the main thing is that when we hand out the safe gun storage information at back to school nights, this is clearly about the recognition that, you know, this is Adams County. We have a lot of hunting families and a lot of families who have a gun for self-defense. You know, there are a lot of folks who have guns, and there are, unfortunately, in the nation as a whole, we lose children because the gun wasn't stored safely at some in some particular way, which is, you know, the basic mantra is store it unloaded and locked, ammunition locked separately. So that is something that is particularly really done for the support of a gun-owning family. And interestingly, we have had so many hunters, when we are handing out this information, come to the table and be very interested and read the information and say, that's right, that's correct, that's how I always store my gun, please keep handing this out. Because, you know, 99% of your Adams County hunters know this stuff. This is good-hearted, sensible group of people, and they appreciate it. People have said they like that we're handing out that information, so that's one of the things we do.
All right, very good. And as we look at you know, what's going on in the legislature, is there anything else that you're looking forward to that you're hoping might come about now that there seems to be a new momentum behind at least having the discussion, which we've never been able to have before?
Well, certainly in the short run, I think, as we've mentioned, we'd like to see this domestic violence bill passed by the House, and then we expect it would be signed by the governor. And then this universal background checks, which is really would be a significant accomplishment. It would basically expand background checks to rifles, to long guns. There is a background check already for handguns, but it would expand it to rifles and to every sale, including online sales and every gun show. Which is where a lot of the handguns and weapons are used that don't the people don't have to have a background check on.
Yeah, and then the assault weapons ban. This is something we have new hope of people really understanding the difference between what a hunter uses and what, you know, has been really the gun that is the gun of choice for mass murderers. So I think there's new hope for that one passing, to get a ban on assault weapons, and if not in the country as a whole, in Pennsylvania, where we got a lot of common sense folks. So.
Right.
And we also work with other partner groups. We've got members who go to the here in Adams County. We're very fortunate. We've got a member of the Healthy Adams County Behavioral Task Force Suicide Prevention Committee, because, you know, our main form of gun violence is gun suicide in Adams County. We don't have, obviously, some of the issues of an urban area. Being on that board, you know, enables us to be a voice for sensible gun policies that can help with this kind of thing. But also, we want to work in other ways. It's not all about legislation. We work with various groups who are trying to, reduce gun suicide. It's a tragedy in our area and others. Of 12 of the suicides in Adams County in 2017, 12 of the 17 were gun suicides.
That's a significant number. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we're about ready to wrap up, I think, and we'll provide some information on how people can contact you through Facebook, I believe, in our description. But is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience before we wrap up for the day?
We do these creative projects. I mean, it's just an odd sort of thing that we fell into. I mean, we have a couple of videos on our Facebook page, and we're very blessed by the presence of the seminary. You know, we've had video help here. We have had directing help from folks at Gettysburg College, and we've recently had musical help from Gettysburg College and produced a couple of songs for this movement. Jocelyn Swigger, who's a music professor at Gettysburg College, wrote a song called Enough is Enough, using the words of students in the student walkouts. and created the music for it and everything, and we'll actually be presenting that at the April 11th rally and leading that. It's a call and response chant. So, you know, there are these sort of creative opportunities that, you know, sort of happen to fall in our pocket because we were the group that is interested in
this.
There'll
be people from the Gettysburg community that'll be singing the song.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, very good. Well, we have been speaking today with Judy and David Young about the organization Gettysburg Gun Sense. We hope today's conversation helps you start your own conversations about common sense ways to approach gun safety here in Gettysburg and beyond. And if you'd like to contact Gettysburg Gun Sense, links will be available in the podcast description. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Don.
And now we'll listen to a brief excerpt from Enough is Enough.
Listen to the young. Enough is enough. Protect kids' lives.
Enough is enough.
We will not be silent.
Enough is enough.
End gun violence.
Enough is enough. We will go and vote like no generation has in history. We're just getting started and we won't stop.
We want to read.
Enough is enough.
Books, not elegies.
Enough is enough.
It's a school zone.
Enough is enough.
Not a war zone.
Enough is enough. We will go and vote like no generation has in history. We're just getting started and we won't stop.
We demand that children fly enough.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.